Thank you, Brother Al Alwey. I want you to come and hear Brother Eddie. He's got a great testimony. Called preaches 2 years out of Mississippi, right next to Alabama. I want you to hear tell how he fell from that derrick and land on that cement floor and what all it done to him, how God brought him out of it and healed him. God's not dead. You know, because you feel half dead last time, you feel like everybody else is. If it's too cold for you, then just well to put in a new heater. Well, Lord have mercy, if you're going to run backwards, I'm going to chase you before we get started even. If you're too hot, everybody's too hot. Don't you run backwards on me now. Look, you can't have no revival. I can't have no revival. Well, I'm going to have one anyway. I'm not going to come up here no 2,000 miles or around that. The way I drive, you know, I go the roundabout way, but... You know, any more, if you make folks mad at you, you just pretty near blowed out to start with. You just can't hardly have revival no more if you don't have it to suit the folks in most places where I go. Don't get involved, brethren. Don't even feel responsible. Don't even get involved. Don't holler amen or raise your hand. I'll never feel offended at you. Have a notion to preach to same old street corner specialist sung in Blanchard, Oklahoma, the last time Mr. Roosevelt ran for office. That Dixie Boy Jordan was a famous radio personality. Of course, I never have been, never will be. There ain't no way to make one out of me. I'm not fine-honed enough. All right. I got out there to... I had an old guitar, and I was going to have a street meeting down there. They all went to church, went town on Saturday. Everybody went town on Saturday. We went in the wagons. Children jump out and run along behind them, you know, jump back in them. We went to town in the wagons back there. Well, we had a few cars in, but I mean, lots of folks still went town in the wagons. And, you know, we'd just stay all day Saturday, just get up milk early and just stay all day and do the work after dark. We didn't have no electricity, but we could, you know, we didn't have time near as much then as we do now. Praise the good Lord, enough to shut a church down. Electricity goes off. Nail the doors up. But then we just went on, you know. It didn't make no difference, you know. We had a stove. It sat right in the middle of the church. Build a coal fire in it or a woodman one. And if you got too cold back in there, you just gathered up closer to it. Or just kept your coat on. You know, I know some of you old-timers is here. I love you. I like modern convenience. I do, but... But, you know, I went to town, and the folks all come town, and I just get out there on the street corner on Saturday. All them old rough boys didn't go to church, and we just come to preach the gospel. You know, I don't know how you brethren do in this country. I mean, I've been here, but I don't live here. I've been standing out of here. But, you know, I met a fellow. He said, where are you going to preach? I said, well, over there. Ooh, I wouldn't go there. Why? Are they humans? I thought maybe he's mixed up on what went there. You know, we're too choicey. That's the reason God can't give us a revival. We're too choice on, is he the right preacher for us? Well, if he's called of God, look out! He may be. I may not preach tonight. I just got in here. Well, I said, is your shoes dusty? I said, yeah, but didn't have no rag to dust them off with. So I had to get on in here. See, I just got here. I mean, I just got here. Drove to 2 last night and got up early and all day today. I just got here. I hope the Lord gets hold of me while I'm here. Have you ever done any shouting? So I hope you turn loose and do something while I'm here. If you want to, you shout in the next 3 minutes. I'll back you all the way and I'll do it. Huh? Don't you take offense at me. If you do, I'll be offended at you and have to come pray you too. But how's your business going? Well, it ain't going like you want it to, or is it? Well, now look, it ain't my fault whichever way it's going. And if the Lord gets a hold of me, I'm going to work on it while I'm here. Lord didn't send me out to look you over and say, now, should I preach to him? He's too skinny. Don't you feel bad. You're just slim, that's all. But I mean, you know, we're in a world that Bible said, go ye into where? No, where they understand you and appreciate you and take you an offering every night. And if they don't, go where they like you. And if they don't like you, tell them to lump it. Go jump in the Mississippi. No, you don't do that. You go where they want you or not. And preach where they like it or not. And pray for them because you love them. And you preach because you love them and you want to help them. You thought about leaving, did you? But you didn't get it done, did you? And you won't for a while yet. The Lord didn't send folks to decide when to leave. He just said, go ye. Bless my heart. That's what I went out on a street corner. Hello there, son. I went right out there on a street corner. And I got ready to preach. And here come some fellas in the big black cap. I may not take no text tonight. I got here too late to take a text. But you know this big black Cadillac. Now there was a day. Now don't take offense. I wish you had three of them. But there was a day when you pulled up in a big black Cadillac that they didn't just run out to meet you. They kind of done like my cousin did. They backed up and looked around the tree at you. I said, let's touch it just as soon as it goes in. Just touch it. You know, it's poor. Well, here they got out of that Cadillac, and here come that old boy in them cowboy boots and that big old flat-top box and big old round hole jumbo Gibson flat-top box. And got out on that street corner, and I said, what's he fixing to do here? So I waited, and he looked up the street, and he said, I like molasses, good old country sorghum. And he went to singing about sorghum molasses. Every farmer in that town come out on the sidewalk. They all love sorghum. We made it down there out of cane. Had an old mule at your. I see you smile. You had some of it, didn't you? Yes, sir. If he didn't get them a crowd, and if they didn't talk about Roosevelt till they give out, and there I stood, like I am tonight, just as bad off now as I was then. Somebody said, he knows how to take a text and handle it. I've never been able to take a text and handle it. You can't even handle the Word of God by the world. The world was framed by it, and all God had to do is speak. Praise God, and things happen. You can't get a hold of it and handle it. It'll handle you, and if it don't, you messed up. He got to singing for them and stepped over to me. Son, what are you fixing to do? I was 19 or 20 then. No, I wasn't married. I was 18 and a half, I guess. But, well, I couldn't hardly say it too loud. He had lots of talent. I didn't even know whether God had given me one yet or not. But, well, I said, I'm going to try to preach God's Bible. He said, they can sit out there and burn up in that Cadillac. All they want me for is to get a crowd anyhow. I'm staying here and helping you sing. Let them sit out there and sweat her out. That's what he done to. You ought to heard us sing. Whew. Me and a famous personality like Dixie Boy Jordan down in Oklahoma. We didn't rear back and sing it. Well, you listen, good people, now to what I've got to say. We've been a-living in a mighty evil day. And it seems that men won't hear the word of the Lord. Dance it don't help with it, but it just helps the fellow that sings. You know, you've got the arthritis tonight and just about got you down. Your dancing may not help nobody, but if you can get in the spirit and dance that out there, it'll help you. Help you. I went up to the pub at the camp meeting the other night, and I was kind of stove up like we are as we get older and drive a while, you know, and I got out around there in the dark, and I was kicking the kinks out, you know. I wasn't in the spirit. I was just kicking the kinks out so if the Lord did move on me, I could do something, you know. Pays to stay in spiritual shape. Feller caught me kicking the kinks out. Old Mike Roberts liked to have a shouting spell over it out of Virginia. Well, I love the old time way myself. I know some of them was a little peculiar. Brother Vince was a little different. We just buried him over yonder that day, but bless his heart, he was such a blessing to us and such a help to us, and he's already crossed to the great beyond. He wanted to go bad. He had it in mind to go. He planned to go, and he went. So we're here, and we're not important. That's a settled fact. I know that. I'm not real old. I was 58 to 20 this month. Don't look it, but I am. And I come because I wanted to. I just come because I wanted to. Been gone from little church 6-7 weeks. I hate to be gone like that, but they let me come again. I said, I'm going to go back. I didn't know I'd get to come back. We've had heartache since we saw you. You have since you saw us. What do you say? Let's just all get in together and have a meeting for a while. Let's just lay it all aside and have a meeting for a while. But here's my little thought. I was praying the other day at home, and it come to me. I've never preached about this simple thought. It's from Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter and the 1st verse. I want to say it's great to be here at Bunsitz Collins and in the church. Church has been a great friend to me and my daughter-in-law and my son. there come with me. We got in here so late, we didn't have time to get ready hard all. They said, we can't make it out there, look like. But we've been bragging on that little evangelist quarters up yonder. I think that's so nice. And they up there, and they're glad to be here. Terry, my son's a preacher. He's went to preach, and look like the whole family's going to do it. So we're glad to be here with you tonight with Brother Eddie. All right, second chapter of Jeremiah. You were lots of good preaching. I know that, and I won't be able to do any better than any other good preacher. But if the Lord helps, we'll drop a little thought or two on you and maybe do something for you. I hope so. Jeremiah 2:1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, I think that's the word. I'll get it because I just keep on trying till I do, you know. And when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, have walked after vanity, and have become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought, shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through, where no man dwelt, and have brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land, made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and all the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. So we're going to talk just a little while tonight on one little sentence out of that. And I walked into the yard. I'd been gone quite a while and hadn't saw my granddaughter, and she is with me. The most beautiful grandchild that's ever born in the history of the world is here, my granddaughter. You say, yes, I can understand you feel like yours is too. Well, we're even. I'm with you. But, you know, I picked her up, and she comes up, Pawpaw, that's who I am, see. And I picked her up, and I held her a little bit, and, you know, we just hadn't seen her for a little while, you know. And she said, where is Nano? Well, we've got the house here, and we've got the grass, and we've got the refrigerator and the stove, and we got the furniture, and you know, we got the car sitting here in the yard. But she didn't ask about where they is at. She said, where is Nano? And she may not be beautiful to you, and she's not in here. And age has changed her and I both. But when I first met her, and to this day she remains the same, she was the most beautiful woman that I ever saw. In fact, she's the only one I ever went with. And I like to die with fright for fear if I proposed she wouldn't accept it. And then I'd be up Bitter Creek. And when it did, she said she'd pray about it. And still put me up Bitter Creek. Well, she wanted to see Nano. To other children, they could pass by all day. And if they knew her, they could recognize her and say, there's a lady, if they didn't know her. But this one is different. This is the one that changed her clothes, that kept her many times when Mom and Daddy needed to go somewhere and took care of her. And she's no stranger to Nano. And when she asked me that, I thought maybe the Lord dealt with me. I thought maybe he spoke to me. And he said, where is the Lord? And I said, well, where is that at? And so I ran to the Bible and I studied a little bit, and here I found it. And the priest, they didn't say it. The prophets prophesied by Baal. The pastors, they didn't say it. And they that handled the law didn't say it. Where is the Lord? I don't want to sound like I've come here to tell you he is not here or he has not been here. But I'm going to preach a while on where is the Lord. I notice in Exodus 13 and I believe 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. He was with them. And they knew it. And they could tell it. And you could see it. I've never been so spiritual, and I've never been so close to God. But I met a fellow the other day. I never seen him since God made the world and put me in it. I mean, I hadn't seen him anywhere. I didn't know who he was. I mean, I didn't know him. I mean, I never saw him. And he had never saw me. He walked up to me, and he said, "I can tell you what you are." He was 50-some years old. Well, I said, "What am I?" I was at an auction. I had on my everyday clothes, which is apt to be jeans with suspenders on, and an old shirt. And he said, "You're a preacher." I said, "I'll tell you what kind you are." Well, I said, "What am I?" He said, "You're a Pentecostal preacher." Well, I said, "That's right." And he just turned around and walked off. You could tell it was there. Every night you could just look out, and there was a glow out of that cloud. Every day you could look out, and there was that cloud. We've got the singers. They had them in Jeremiah 2. They had the priest up there with his ritual and with all of his sayings. And they had the pastors and they had the prophets. I never heard the like of prophesy. Don't get mad. If you do, get mad tonight. But get over it by tomorrow night. Don't be mad all week. It's hard on y'all, sir. Just tear y'all to pieces. But I don't get mad now. Charge it to me. I just come loaded to the gills. That's all I know. Have an ocean of forever gun of God almost at the judgment. Jesus is just about to come. That's the reason we've got bogged down and leveling and may never get out of there. That's what will help bring that northern thing down on it. Well, to let the Jews handle it, they could have took care of it. But just as soon as they moved their tanks, they went to firing on our Marines in them holes. Make you a dozen peace treaties. Break every one of them. 15 days, they'll fire right on them again. What's the doing it? The teaching of the world is called on the land of Palestine by God himself, because that's where we're going to have Gog and Magog in the Battle of Armageddon. It's time to quit messing around. You sing, sister? Do I sing? Now, don't you take offense. If you sing, you quit. I'm into it. Don't quit, sister, if you sing. Don't you quit. Sister Collins, if you were yet, don't quit singing now because I said this. But I've been where they sung. Son, can you, if you get mixed up on it, can you do re, mi, do, re? Can you sing the notes as good as you can the words? Well, if you can, you're out of the ordinary. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Well, I'm just telling you something. I went to a little church where they sung, and they were pretty good singers. And they got mixed up and said, "Hold it, me, and do, re, ro." Well, they could sing a note just like they could the words. I go sliding in the third on that bird's eye to try to get stopped because the note ought to slow down, but before it can get stopped, I'm going again. Well, no good piano player can even play with us, hardly. Anybody that's ever learned to play the piano can't hardly play with Holiness folks. And you know that, so sister. My girl plays by note, and she said, "Dad, there ain't no way to play by note with the Holiness folks." Well, our song leader will take off in soprano thinking he's doing good and get to the chorus and sing bass all the way through it and lead the bass, lead all the way through the, and think he's sung good all the way. I told our folks down home, we had some knowledgeable folks come that knew music. I said, "Please don't think that we think we know how." And I know they kind of flushed one or two's face because they thought that was pretty hot stuff. I just never had told them that they're singing tenor instead of soprano. They're singing alto instead of bass. That's a bass lead. That's an alto lead. That's not a soprano lead. But you can't tell them. And I like it. But I'm going to preach on where's the Lord, sister. I can sing like an angel. I'm preaching on where is the Lord. Well, I can play a guitar from top to bottom. I'm preaching on where is the Lord. What did he mean by that? Why, there's great builders. They could build some of the greatest things you ever laid eyes on. They had some of the most talented people that ever lived and walked and breathed. But a man of God rose up and said, "Where is the Lord?" And he said, "They that handle the law said not, where is the Lord? We'll sell it our way. We'll do like we do in Oklahoma. Just done $3 million worth of damage up there to Hominy because we fed the prisoners roast beef and run out, and all we had was hamburger patties to feed them, and they tore it up and burned it down just lately in Oklahoma. Now we've got to appropriate another $2.5 or $3 million and tax the people to rebuild it to suit them boys. They need televisions and they need foam rubber mattresses, and they got to have, I can't have roast beef once a week, son. And there they was in prison having it and burned it down because they didn't have enough of it. They that have the law said not, where is the Lord? What we need is a few good judges that'll get down and pray again and say, where is the Lord? We need God in here. What does he do when he's in there? Now don't tell me that he sings, he's good at it, and he'll anoint you to do it, but there's something else besides ability to sing here. There's something else besides the ability to make judgments here. We've made them in Oklahoma till we give out, and we're getting worse all the time, and we're going to have to build more penal institution and treat them better so we can break them from being so mean. Them wild devils in there's got murder in their heart. They'll murder with a brand new suit on, cost $1,000. They'll knife each other down in jail if you put two TVs in every cell. Come on, preach on, where is the Lord? My Jesus, help me. I need your prayer, Terry. I've held some of the best meetings you've ever seen. Folks said there was. And you know, I'm going to tell you, I suffered pretty bad all the way through it because the Lord wasn't there but two or three nights of it. Folks said it was good. I'm going to tell you something, children. That old boy wrote Dora Moore the other day down in Oklahoma on the radio, and he said, "I'll tell you what God's prophecy is for you for the next year, Dora, if you'll send me a $15 offering." I wrote him a little letter, and I said, "You lying hypocrite, you. You lying devil, you. I ain't a bit mean. I didn't bring no knife, and I ain't carried no gun, and I ain't want to whoop nobody. I don't want to get whooped, but I may have to take a whooping. But you know," I said, "you lying hypocrite, you." "Oh, you must not say that, Brother Moore. What would you tell a fellow that wrote your grandmother that had been dead over 15 years a letter and told her that he would tell her her future for $15 and she'd been dead for 15 years? I told him to try to pray through and get saved and quit preaching. Got some kind of a bad disease that deceives people. Where is the Lord? That's what I want to preach a while about tonight. Yes, where is the Lord? I notice in Exodus 25:22, God said something, and he said, in the 21st verse, "Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark, the testimony of all things which I will give thee, and the commandment unto the children of Israel." I'm talking about that little ark God told him to make. Y'all remember that? Just so long, I haven't got time to describe it. It's as wide, deep as it was wide, and it wasn't too long, and had an angel on each end of it, and the mercy seat in the middle, and the cherubim's wings went out over the mercy seat. That's about like it. And it's overlaid inside and out with pure gold, and had some rings on it, and had some stays made, and that's covered with pure gold, and the son of the Korathites is supposed to carry it. And you wasn't supposed to snoop around and look at it. It wound up with Aaron's rod that budded in it, and the pot of manna, and the commandments. That's what wound up in it. But God said, "I'll commune with you there. That's where I'll meet you, right above the mercy seat. And if you don't, you've had it." I want you to notice in the 37th chapter of Exodus, in the first verse, I hope y'all don't forget what I said I was going to preach on, I may, but I hope you don't. Where is the Lord? We've got to have family prayer. Can you get calmed down long enough to have it? Just like, don't, oh, help me, Jesus. I didn't aim to tighten up here, but
Pretty near had a family brawl at the supper table. Pretty near had a knife slinging fist fight, glory to God. And we're going to have prayer. Well, look, you can pray to give out, but if you don't do a little asking forgiveness here and a little apologizing, there ain't going to be no Lord there. Where is the Lord? We're going to have him in this last day, in this evil hour, in this end time. We're going to have God in our choir. We're going to have God at the altar at home. We're going to have God in everyday life. You can't say it's a guitar. You can't say it's ability to speak, and you can't say it's ability to sing. You can't say it's ability to be friendly and have a great personality. That's just something else that I can't really explain, but it's the presence of God Almighty, and we've got to have it.
Where is he at? Where did he go? Something missing. Something missing. Something missing. 37th chapter in the first verse, and Bezaleel made the ark of siddim wood. 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, a cubit and a half the breadth of it, and a cubit and a half the height of it. I want to give a little something to you here. Just a little while. I don't want to hold you long tonight. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, made a crown of gold to it round about, and he cast 4 rings of gold, be set in the 4 corners thereof, even 2 rings upon each side, and made stays of siddim wood and overlaid them with gold, put stays in the rings aside the ark. Made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of 1 piece of. He made them, and on the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and 1 cherubim on this end, and 1 on the other end. And I want you to know it's 9th verse. And the cherubim spread their wings over the on high, and covered their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another, even the mercy seat. Seatward were the faces of the cherubims, even to the mercy seat. Were the faces of the cherubims. Here's a description of that little ark. You know, some people amaze me. It's, you know, they get mixed up on what size it takes. We had a church, you know. Can you all hear there in the back? I'm a preaching on where is the Lord? Can you tell the difference, or have we got to where we can't hardly? We've got to where we can't hardly down home. Pharaoh Westlinger, I wish you sure. Now, don't think I'm trying to be messed up, but we're just messed up in our world, period. Now, God bless you if you don't know anything about statistics or crime wave or about juvenile problems. You just don't know where we're at. We're into it. We are into it. And we need God. We need God. We don't need great orators that can speak fly words of superstition. We don't need that hocus pocus, diddly-eye-docus, come into focus stuff. Well, if I can get up and tell you how much you weigh, and guess your name, and get your phone number, and tell you where you live, and wind up with saying, you have got trouble, well, who ain't? We need the Lord, Brother Junior. Oh, there's men of God that God shows things, but we need the Lord tonight. You can't fool God. Oh, don't you get scared of me. I'm not. But where's the Lord? I used to what? Where'd it go? I'm not getting mean with you, but listen, children, we're going to be in some dark times, and we're going to have to pray till we can feel the presence of God there. We're going to have to pray so till we can say like the apostle did, it is the Lord. He's here. Did you ever get him in a Sunday school class till a teacher broke down and folks prayed through and got saved? Just go talking about a little something in the Bible and just go all over the world. Nothing deep, nothing mysterious, nothing you couldn't understand, but the Lord was in it. Kind of like your old grandma when she come back from the field and she walked in where you was at. Well, praise the good Lord, you just felt like something was running all over you. You know God is speaking to her. Pharaoh had no wife. He never married. You could see his stomach between the buttons on his shirt. He didn't have no sense about buying clothes. He didn't have no woman to buy them for him. He didn't have nobody to arm him for him. He lived holy. He's a good boy. The church got down to 4 in Sunday school at Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. That's pretty low, ain't it? I'd have resigned it a while before so it wouldn't hurt my name so bad. Pharaoh, they wouldn't have him for revival.
because of his appearance. He had a good mind. He had a good mind. But they wouldn't have him because he couldn't sing. He didn't have no ability to sing or play. I love playing and singing. I think the Lord gets in it. But there's a few fellows I've heard play and sing, like the boys I started calling names. That wouldn't be for good. Would it? I want to say, where's the Lord? You held that just right. I never heard such harmony. You just made me admire you. But that's all. That's all. Didn't feel anything. You understand what I'm trying to preach tonight? That's simple enough for anybody to understand. Yeah. They wouldn't have asked Pharaoh to preach, but to go down to four. And Brother Eddie Pharaoh went. Pharaoh walked in the door. Pharaoh Esslinger died in his 30s. Died trusting God. Wouldn't hardly let him take him to the doctor. Strange kind of a boy. And he walked in. He said, God sent me to hold your revival. Well, you're welcome, brother. They'd have had 100 in Sunday school. They'd have said, we'll pray about it. Let me have your phone number. If you don't hear from me, I just feel like God didn't want it to be. Now, I'm not getting on you now, but I'm just giving you a parallel. Most of us would not have been saved if it hadn't been for that man sent from God that God was with. And when he or she came in where we was at, you could feel something like electricity running up and down your backbone, and you didn't know where to stay or leave because that man of God was there. Well, when Samuel come to town, suddenly got to stir up. They said, comest thou peaceably? Did you ever hear of him carrying a gun or sword or have an army? Yes, so scared of the preacher when he come. He said, comest thou peaceably? There's a woman sitting down here in this audience right now. I wonder if I'm going to tell her what she's been into while I'm here. The Lord never has moved on me to tell nobody anything embarrassing before others to humiliate them. But he has moved on me to tell folks a few things. Well, you know, when Samuel come to town, he said, come on. Reckon he'll find out what's been going on down here at the courthouse. Samuel, she come peaceably, Samuel. Well, he never had come to start no war. Well, yes, it'd come to have church. Whew, that's good. I thought he was going to put the dead one on it. I mean, so he's going to put the hammer down on it, see? But he's a man of God. That's what it was. Uneasy feeling. You know what down home one used to when they got ready to start a revival? Everybody got tightening up. Fast and pray a week before it started. Get everything in order so we'd have a good meeting. I'm preaching 35 years too soon here tonight. Where's the Lord at in your kitchen, lady? Have you quit shouting around that sink? Pharaoh come in and said, come hold your meeting. Why, what can we lose? Just cut four. He started. He never sung a special on his own. He didn't know how. But he is like Napoleon's drummer boy. When Napoleon said, beat a retreat, he said, I never did learn one. But he said, I can beat in advance, it'll raise the dead. Well, they said, beat in advance then. He is like Ridgway. Was it Ridgway that went to Vietnam with his pistols on? And they got to showing and he plans to retreat. He said, I didn't come here to retreat. I want to see some plans to advance. We can't live down here on the coast from now on, back against the sea. He started preaching. His whole families got saved. People don't get saved because you are so good looking and because you have the latest that you can buy that'll make you smell like what you ain't. I mean, they don't get saved because you have such an eloquent way to drive your point home, boy. They get saved because the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them and deals with them and touches their heart and convicts them of sin, and they'll come crying and praying because God is there. Where's he at? The church went up to 85 and 90 in Sunday school. I helped them build them a new one in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and it's still running up there, and it's been dead for years. Only revival ever had in his life. Wasn't 6 months, he's cold in death. Laid him in the country graveyard. when I go by there now, I ease by it carefully. I haven't been there for years, but I don't go storming by there. Not when I go by Pharaoh's grave. I think of Claude when I go by Pharaoh. I think of Claude's song, "Bury me in a little graveyard place. My Bible by my side. Tell all my friends as they stand around me how I lived and how I died." That's what I think of when I go by Pharaoh. Can't hardly keep him talking to him. You saw that, don't you? I can't hardly keep him talking to Pharaoh when I go by. Pharaoh, you've done a great job. What's it take to do a great job? Have God with you. I don't know what makes me want to talk to my old mechanic friend back there. I just like you, Val. If you went crooked since I've seen you, I love you anyway. I don't believe you have. But you know, we used to have mechanics down in Oklahoma. They just had a touch. They just had what we call that mechanic's touch. Why, they never owned a timing light. I've got boys down there, mechanic for years, never owned a timing light. And when the timing lights come in, they begin to put the timing lights on what they timed and wouldn't be 1 degree off biggest part of the time. They knowed how to make an engine run. We found out how to mess them up with our modern day push button theology and in the church and in the business world too. We've learned how to computerize everything. We're going to find out at the judgment that the machine won't answer for our deeds. But we had some folks down there that had to touch. They had to touch. That engine ain't running right. Well, it's all in tune, yeah, but it ain't running right. And then I found out from my brother-in-law that's been building engines for many years, Mr. Buddy Rice Precision Machine Works in Oklahoma City. I guess he's got $500,000 or more in equipment, maybe more than that now. And he said, "Moore, I found the timing mark's off as high as 15 degrees on a pulley on a crankshaft. The timing mark off that much. Make it run." Well, all I'm saying is, we had some boys down home could take an old saw and take an old pair of spoons out of the kitchen and make them a drum out of the pitifulest looking things you've ever seen, whittle them out of you below back there in the woods, and make music till you couldn't hardly stand it. Toe tapping. They had to touch. They remind me of the men in the Bible that was blessed with the talent to handle brass and iron and wood. You ever see a fellow just take a chunk of wood and make anything out of it he wanted to? Well, I went to a place a while back and they had a piece of wood laying there and they wanted $1.50 for it. And I thought, well, I wouldn't give $1.50 for no little old chunk of wood till that fellow blowed on it and I bought it. Just exactly like a train. Four little holes in the end of it. Makes us. Did you see that while you was down? Did I blow my train whistle for you? Did I blow it for you while I was there? I surely did. I blew it for everybody. It sounds just exactly like a train. He had the touch. He knew what to do. That's as near as I can get tonight in our carnal world to let you know when the Lord is there, there's something else about it that I can't explain, but it's a fine tuning, and it makes it sound right, and it makes it run right, and it makes it perform right. And old boy that can't quit cussing, can't quit lying, can't quit anything, when the power of God gets a hold of him, when the Lord is there and he works him over, it'll fix him so he can walk right. That church is still going. Pharaoh held that meat sent from God. God was with him. The Lord was there. Help me right now. I ain't going to have time to. I've got a whole bunch of things wrote down here that I was going to talk a while about tonight. But I had my mind on that little ark. And the children of Israel dearly loved that. And any time it was in the camp, they felt at ease. But they got in the war over here and 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, and the Philistines got in a great battle with them, and there's a great slaughter among the people, and old Hophni and Phinehas, they died. That was the man of God, Eli's boys, and came to pass that they took the ark of God, run off with it. Ooh, they didn't know what this was getting hold of here. And when they told Eli, he took everything when they told him, "Your boys is dead." The old man stood it. But when they said, "The ark is taken," he fell off backwards and broke his neck off where he was sitting. because that was the presence of God in the midst of his people, and it took the ark away. Hard to explain how one little box, not very long, not very tall, covered with gold, with those angels on it in the mercy seat, it's hard to imagine how it could command so much attention, but without it, they is ruined. I'm preaching on, where is the Lord? Old preacher friend of mine preached a while back, and the man said, I'll tell you one thing, he's old, but it's still there. You can feel it. You can feel it. Something is different. It's there. You know what? The Philistines got it, and they brought the thing down to Ashdod, and they set it up in the temple of their god, old Dagon. And the next morning, they went out to see how the two gods was getting along together, and Dagon was on his head. It fell over. Of course, the dead outfit couldn't get up. He was dead before he fell. He didn't have no life in him. I'm just amazed how some folks worship some things don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. Our pastor and church got all down and out over having one glass to take the sacrament out of. Everybody slobbered in it one after the other, and they got mad because I wouldn't go along with their tradition. Some things don't mean a thing, and folks just fall in the hay over it. Over zero. Oh, I don't want to face God. And God had to look at me. It didn't mean a thing, son. You wasted months and months on that, and it didn't mean a thing. You wasted years on something that didn't mean a thing. May the Lord help us. Dagon was down for the count. They had to set him up. Next morning went out, and God had knocked him over again, broke his head off and his hands off. You take a fellow's hand broke off and his head broke off, he'll never be no good to nothing no more. That's all of it, ain't it? I mean, he is out of commission. I mean, he is gone. No more production from him.
Well, God smote him with the herpes down there. I mean the hemorrhoids. Did you know the Bible teaches that God said to the children of Israel, if you don't obey my commands, I'll leave you. My presence will leave you. You can shout. You can run. You can holler. You can tell that I'm a Hebrew. You can sing the Hebrew God that got the world in his hand, but it won't do a thing for you if I'm not with you. He said, I will smite you with the botch of Egypt. I'm not a great reader, son, but if you study, it's an incurable disease in the secret parts, and it's very close to what these folks got. And why does God smite anybody when folks get so wicked and so full of uncleanness and so full of lust and so full of evil till they commit things like we're doing in America? God brings a judgment. He's done it. And we don't know what to do with it. And I challenge you, you cannot come against that. That's a judgment of God. Many things aren't. It just happens. The water line freezes up. Thaw it out. Don't blame it on God or the devil either. Insulate it. You know, we need to keep our priorities straightened out. Headed to the church, and I thought about going down to play a game of pool, but I decided to go to church, and you know, I had a flat in front of the pool hall. I know then it wasn't God's will for me to go to church. Won't me just play a little game of pool and go back home. That's enough. Why, whoever made the old tar or a nail. Don't even talk about God being in it. Just thank God because you got strength enough to fix it. If you ain't, walk on to church and leave the thing set. But there's some things we don't need to sneeze at. And herpes is one of them. Bunch of unclean, ungodly living. And even our educators holding up for some of this junk. It's no wonder God is sending judgment on a bunch that thinks nothing of destroying unborn children like a lot of ours are doing. All right, now don't get mad. You didn't hear me explain everything I believe now. I ain't got time. But I'm preaching on, where is the Lord? Why didn't he come? Why did he stay out of the meeting? Why didn't he come to it? Why don't he help me? If I'd ask God to give me a job like you've got, and it's a paying the money you got, and you sustain you don't give a dollar and a half a week to church, it's no wonder God left you. Something like I'll fall on you and mash you. You ask God to give it to you. You ask God to help you. And he helped you. Now do something. You know, I support the missionaries, but I don't know where my money's going. Well, there ain't no way to chase the dollar to the end of the world and see it goes in a little boy's mouth down yonder somewhere. Give it for the glory of God to the man of God and let him have the responsibility of it, and you have the blessing because you was willing to give. Pray, Junior. I don't know when I ever did just fall into such a deal. As just a bunch of good people, that's what it is. And they like preaching, I can tell that. But look, I'm preaching on where's the Lord here. There's something happening to us here. These hemorrhoids had broke out among us. And the lords of the Philistines got together. And they said, we're going to have to do something about this. Call a meeting. Of course, they never did have no meetings and seek God in them. They just had meetings like the city council does. You know, I was in a meeting a while back and got after the, what's that big organization you work with? Masons, that's who it is. And you know there's a couple of boys there that's heavy into Masons. And I took after them because my own brother-in-law was, his 32nd degree pretty high in the Masons. Well, that's what he was when he's an alcoholic. Oh, Brother Moore, you're a long ways from home. Well, all right, his name's Walker, and it's that tall on the outside of his business in Hobbs, New Mexico. It's Walker Drilling Company, and he didn't lose his money because the oil field went down. He was raised in it. He knows what to do. He didn't plunge off like our bankers did. Didn't know nothing about it. He knew the oil field. He still got money. But when he was an alcoholic and going to run his car into that bridge embankment to kill himself and didn't have the guts to do it because he's afraid he'd be broke up and live a cripple, before he got off that stuff, he's a 32nd degree mess. When this bunch called their meeting, they didn't pray through and seek God for the will of God. Their old hearts might be cleansed and they might get saved and accept the living God that was a Hebrews God. They just had a meeting like the Masons do. Get mad. It's time to get mad. We're in the end time and folks are just a messing around, doing anything they want to, and somebody will have it. Well, God ain't going to have it. Don't you know I've got good sense? If the Lord don't give me some money while I'm here, I can't buy no gas to go back on. So I know better than just to run myself. But I'm going to preach the Bible, son. If it won't work here, I'm going to go back to welding. Don't be afraid to holler amen loud, son. I'll never hurt you. Where's the Lord? We got a meeting to go on. We got the house swept. We got the house heated. We got the singers. We got the drum. We got the guitar. I like them all. I wouldn't care if half set of bones up here as long as I use them for the glory of God. But where's the Lord? Where's Grandma's God at? Where's Grandpa's God at? Where's that something that felt like something run up down your backbone when Grandpa hooted in the back of the house and sounded like it hurt a bunch of cows? Where's that at? Why, sister, Collins had spin a piano player from off the piano and from out across the house. Why, look at that. God bless you. Not even have a piano player. Spin a drum player, plumb off the drum, so he sticks one way and then the other, and dance out amongst the people so drunk in the spirit can't get back to the drum. Don't tell me God didn't do it. Where's the Lord? Oh, I'm not saying he ain't never been with you here. And I'm not de-Christianizing everybody's got God, but we're running short on the presence of the Lord. Won't have to hurry. I wish my wife was in here to give me a signal. I wasn't so tired. I'd preach a straight hour. I'd work on you just like that old boy does them cars. If it takes a half a day, he'll fix it. I'd work on you if it took a half a night. Smile, David. It's the truth, son. You know what bought you out. You didn't have no ability to save yourself. You couldn't quit what you're doing. I'd swear off of camels and be on Lucky Strikes. I'd swear off Lucky Strikes and be on Bull Durham half and half. I couldn't get off of none of it. I'd turn over New Year's leaf and have another fight before sundown. Didn't have no control till the Lord come on and see. I wasn't a good Democrat or Republican. I mean, I didn't have it. Where's the Lord? Don't tell me it wasn't in the Methodist church. They got the jerks and fell in the sawdust aisles. Power of God was there. I'll tell you why I was there. Why don't you read a little? I'm not such a great reader, but I dare you to read anybody that God is ever with and find out why I was with them. Because they feared God. It's a truth. It's a sound fact the world over because they worship God.
because it serves the Lord. That's what takes it. Get him there, son. You never did. We got some precious folks up in my country. Some of our black people, Lord, they're great friends of mine. They sang a song I dearly love. Take the Lord along with you wherever you go. Take the Lord along with you wherever. They get in the spirit and get so far in front of us we can't even catch them. But they know what it is to take the Lord along with you. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make 5 mice. Don't that sound like a bunch that don't know nothing about worshiping God? Wasting time in the basement of the church and making 5 mice. Lord, I hate mice, don't you? There's one dug a hole through the baseboard up there where I'm going to stay. And last time I was here, I seen where he dug it through, but Joey got him. If he hadn't, I would. I hate mice. If I'd have had to live with a cat in that bathroom, I'd have got him. I don't like mice. Ain't that like a bunch of our late model heathen religions today? Make a bunch of mice. 5 white mice. And had the guts to make a little offering deal to put it in. Didn't know no better. And they made them some mice. And they put it in a little deal, a coffin of fire. And set it beside the ark. And they made them 5 golden emeralds. Emeralds. Oh, God. Look like they don't want to forget that. What did Israel need with that? Stay with me here. I may say something to make you talk to your wife halfway home here in a minute. Where's the Lord? Poor dumb bunch. And they got them 2 old cows or kine, whatever they, what was them? Milk kine. Milk cows? That's milk cows. And they got... They got the carpenter and said, saw us out a hunk of wood too here and build us a cart. Anybody can have one of them. I've seen a bunch of them in this new cart religion around the churches. What's that sitting over there? That's John's cart. That's what he carted in here. So they laid the ark up on the new cart and they said, if we turn these cows loose, and they took the calves away from them, and if they just wander up the road and wander off in there where we think they ought to go, we'll know that this reading is plagues on us. Well, they didn't stop at Ashdod. They went, they sent it on down to another town, and the same thing happened down there at that other town. They all got down with it to Ekron, and they started to send it to another, and they got down with it, and they got mad about it, and so they said, we better put it back where it belongs. And they sent things up the road. Ooh, ooh, here they come. I've seen some of that. With the new cart religion. Here they come with God's ark on a new cart. Wobbling and wobbling up the road. And got up there and stopped. And the men saw it. And when they saw it, they said, well, we better run down there and see about it. See what it is. And the men of Beth-Shemesh run down to see it. And they said, oh, it's our ark. God has moved on the Philistines, and they sent it back. And some of them said, let's look in it. Let's look in there. And God killed 50,000 of them for it. He knocked 50,000 of them in the head. Killed 50,000 of them because 50,000, 70 men, he killed 50,000 and 70 men because they stuck their nose in God's business and God didn't like it. Don't feel bad, I didn't say you done it. But they opened that ark and stuck their nose in it. And they're supposed to be God's children, and God killed 50,000 and 70 of them because they done it. Well, I'm going to have to hurry since time's getting away. I was aiming to preach a great bunch about this. But anyway, David got word that the ark is down there, and the Bible said David took a bunch with him and decided he'd go down and get the ark. And when they went to get it, they made a bad, bad mistake. They set it on the same thing the heathens did. Where is the Lord? If we act like the heathen and do like the heathen, and take on the heathen's ways, we get the results the heathen get. Amen. And they got him a new cart and set it on it. And David consulted with the thousands, the captains of thousands and hundreds, and was ever leader, and said, "Let's go bring the house of the ark up unto us." And got down there and had everything in order, and up the road they went and hit a bump. And you will. And when they did, Uriah reached over to keep the ark from falling off, and God killed him. Because he touched it. Where is the Lord? We need you for a deacon. That's what they told that fellow in Denton, Texas. He said, "I drink." Well, I said, "How much?" He said, "I got to socialize with the folks that buy my houses, and I drank with them, take social drink," and said, "I lie." Said, "I got shoddy material in some of these houses, but I got too much in them, I got to move them, and I lie to them." Well, it says, as long as you don't drink too much or lie too bad about it, we still need you for a deacon. And God killed him. Is this a revival message, honey?
Yes, it is. Sure.
God killed him because he messed with his ark. He shouldn't have touched that. He didn't have no business fooling with it. God knocked him out. And it just tore David up. It looks like a person can't hardly do anything for the Lord. And it looks like God won't let a man do anything for it. Well, if we don't do it right, the Lord won't be with us. He won't honor us, and he won't bless us, and his presence won't be there. That's the way it is, children. I think you're good people. But David got to, he got to praying about this thing. And David, in the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles, he's changed his message than he did in the 13th chapter. And David said, "None ought to carry," in the second verse, "the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark and to minister unto him forever." And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark from his place. David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites. Now he got down to serious business in this next deal before he tried to bring that ark up there. I'm talking about, where is the Lord? So David went and studied, but he read in Numbers 4:15, the Bible said, "The sons of the Kohathites shall bear it." Those priests, they'll stick those staves through those rings and put them on their shoulders. And when they come up the road, they'll do it like they did in the days of old when they stood in the water. Bless my heart. Won't be long if we keep going like we are till we'll see a thing setting up here about 7 foot high and 4 foot wide. We may not even have to come here. Just sit in your home maybe and just punch a button or two and zap, 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 and hear the computer start. I can tell what's wrong with you. You have a pain in your right side. Push button number 7 and the prayer of faith will be prayed for. It may sound far out, but we're sure headed for it. It won't be hard for a beast to rule our world if he can set up enough computer systems and get enough satellites in space. He can have reports to him from everybody that lives on the footstool, wherever they're at, in a moment's time. Once he gets it all categorized and where they're at, it won't be hard for him to rule a world, will it? David said, "God don't like it. We're going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty here. You know what we're going to have to do, children? We're going to have to do like that old mother did over there at Blanchard, like to pray us to death. She is a dying, like to pray us to death. We were praying for God to heal her and prayed till her sinner brother, an old man, walked in the door and said, 'Fix that before you die.' He wasn't saved. He said, 'You know what I'm talking about, and you're dying, and these people are praying. You fix that before you die. You know that crooked business, and you fix it.' She didn't say, 'It ain't crooked.' She didn't say, 'Brother, you're wrong.' God won't have it. God is merciful. I'll commune with you above the mercy seat. But it must be according to God's divine plan, or God won't have it. You know, he ain't hurting for church members like I am. He just won't have everything. Children, we got to pray good and seek God good and do the will of God, or God won't be with us, and we'll be crying, 'Where's the Lord in our death? Where's the Lord in our trial? Where's the Lord in our sickness?'" We do it ourselves. And David Got the singers in order. I ain't going to have time to read all this. Whew, but I'm telling you, if he didn't go into it next time. I can't read all some of these words I can't even pronounce. I don't try to read them because it don't make it look like you don't know what they are if you don't try to pronounce them. That's the way a preacher does sometimes, to make folks think he's smarter than he is. They just reads the one he can and leaves the others alone. You know, that's just the way we are. Amen. But he got the singers. You singers, clear your throats over there. Don't tell me you can't sing. That's what you're fixing to do, sing. Don't get up there for 30 minutes and say you can't sing. And sing, you know you can sing better than anybody in the house. What do you want for your singing? Presence of God is all we need. We don't need the praise of men. We need the presence of God. That's right. He got all his singers ready. He got them instrument players ready. He got everybody doing everything he thought they were doing. They couldn't rush through that service. There wasn't no way they could get to it that fast. They could not get to a service fast enough to get home and see the 10 o'clock baseball game or football game. They just couldn't do it. They had to stop every six paces and have a regular sacrifice here. Hold everything. Stop the procession. Stop the 100,000 coming here. And stop the 75,000 from over here. And stop the 150,000 from over here. Everybody stop. Stop down the line. Went to captains of 100,000. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. What's going on? David's called for another sacrifice. Well, it just give one. Yeah, everybody's wanting to give again. Six more places. Hold everything. Stop the music. Something here more important than music and marching right now. We have a sacrifice up here. David got everybody doing everything. Y'all tuned him back up and sat down on a log. He said, this thing just going to kill me trying to get this lined out to him. After he got it all fixed, he done like Junior did last year. I got the tickle tat. We had this meeting last year and Junior got so far out in the spirit he got to dancing. He got to go a ways to get there. But he did. In different times, in a time change service, he's dancing. That just tickled me so good. I wish somebody real important, of course you all are, but I just close to me, I just feel like we're one of each other, but I wish somebody real important would walk in and say, could you tell me where the pastor is? I need to have a conference. I just want to tell somebody. He has now entered into the spiritual dance, and as soon as he comes out of it, we'll have him talk to you, but if you don't mind, be seated. He is now into his spiritual dance. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could only hear her tender voices then, so glad I would be, it would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother pray again, how about it? Prayed the power of God down and put flour in the bin for you. Prayed you out of the sick bed when you're bad sick. What we need, the Lord. Well, I got it done this time. There's much more in the Bible about it, but I'm so slow to tell it. I'm going to have to give up here and quit my little message tonight. But just a few little words. Where is the Lord? You ever feel His presence? Some boys come from Virginia to see me a year or two ago, and there's a mimosa tree down in the yard. I'm a poor man. I'm not seeking sympathy because that is what's made me what I am, because I'm poor. If I'd have been rich, I'd never got saved. But we got a mimosa tree down there in the backyard. And I don't understand why, but through the years and through the tears, I've stood under the old tree, and the Lord spoke to me different times under that tree. Told me things to do and where to go. And these boys come to see me, and the Lord dealt with me, said they come to see you because they want to know if I'll speak to you about them. And they visited me a while, and they said, where's that mimosa tree, Brother Moore? Well, I said, it's right out here. And let's go stand under it. I said, Lord, you know it don't work like that. We can stand under that for 30 days. It won't be nothing. You've been there. From the well house right straight north, that little tree. But we walked down there and stood under it, and the power of God came upon me. I never said nothing to him. I can tell it. I don't understand it altogether, and I can't fully explain it. But I can tell you when he's there. I can tell you when he's there. And I felt his spirit come upon me. And I turned and spoke to him, and I knew what he told me. And they knew it. One of them turned to him and said, did you hear it? I don't repeat what the Lord said to me. But he had a message for them. Where is he at? Is he far off across the sea? If your baby starts to die tonight, is God with you? If your husband starts to die tonight, is God with you? If your wife starts to die tonight, is God with you? Can you feel his presence? What did Elisha say when he come back to the water? After God had took Elijah, had his mantle in his hand, and he come back to the water.
where, he said, is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted. Oh, don't you like that? Sometimes I wonder if you could order in a book anywhere that would tell us just exactly how. No, you can read after every man you've ever heard of and get all the good thoughts you want to from him or from her. But listen, what you'll have to do as an individual is get a hold of God yourself. Is he with you tonight? Where is the Lord? Where has he went from our schoolrooms? Miss Adderhole, I was mean as a snake. Some people like them for pets. I can't stand the things. But I was mean as a snake. And I wasn't no benefited schoolhouse. I don't have ever passed anything, but I finally got through. But I made A's and A minuses and B pluses in algebra, mathematics. I didn't know a fellow smart could do that. I'm glad I found it. I just found out a little while back. LL, I'm pretty smart. I didn't know I was. Never did know it. But you know, I'll tell you one thing that helped me in algebra. Miss Adderhole, every day when we started our class, she said, "Children, I'll have a word of prayer. You got to get Supreme Court permission now to have a word of prayer." Tell you what we'll do, just pray if they lock us all up. Just ought to go right on like nothing ever happened. Go right on like that old boy did in eastern Oklahoma when they fired him, working on the road, right back next morning working. Said, "I thought I fired you." He said, "If I listened to that, I'd been out of work a long time ago." I'm telling you what I know happened in eastern Oklahoma. He is the last man on the job when they finally wound her up. Hate to let him go then. He just run from out and had to let him go. Just ought to pray anyhow. Just ought to go ahead and seek God anyhow. Call on the Lord anyhow. Miss Adderhole said, "We're going to pray. And we're going to read a verse or two from God's Bible." I'll always believe. Wasn't raised a Christian. Wasn't raised in a Christian home. Didn't know anything about God of the Bible. I thought J-O-B was Job in the Bible. I thought Psalms was Psalms. I'm honest. I didn't know. I thought it. I just didn't know nothing about it. But that old woman lives in my memory. And I wasn't saved at all. Knew nothing of God. Rushed in and out laughing and hollering and playing and jumping. But it lodged in my heart. The lady that read the Bible and prayed. I honored her. I reckon I listened. They tell me algebra's hard. I talk to children go to school now and say algebra's rough. I didn't know it. I believe it's because of that woman had the presence of God with her. I honored her too much. I was like old Gene Ritchie was when he went out there 45 years ago where he was herding them cattle across Oklahoma, lost as he could be, herding cattle and riding with the men and had the chuck wagon, lived on the prairie and herding them cattle across Oklahoma. My kin folks rode with him. They put on the old spurs and boots and put on the clean jeans one night and took the old chaps off and went up to the schoolhouse to hear a man preach. Brother Morris said he led the singing. He done all the testifying that was done. He done all the praying that's done all the preaching. Didn't have nobody to help him hardly. But us old cowboys sat there and listened. He said next morning, we went out to gather up them strays, start that drive again. One old boy made fun of that preacher, mimicked him, mocked him all the way out there. And so that fall we heard the office noise. He tried to rope a wild bull down there, and that thing had made a run, and the rope had caught around his foot and jerked him out of the saddle, and that horse was running to that bull and dragging him and his head just beating the ground and about to kill him. And said, we rushed in there and roped that horse and stopped that and got him loose, and Gene didn't know God had never been saved. Mother died when he was a little boy. Rage, his brother's the one that done the cooking for him, and they had many children. Children hung together, and the oldest brother kept them together and raised them. He's the old boy that cooked him navy beans, and them little sinners come out of them, floated to the top, and Gene made him throw them all away, said, we can't eat them little worms, said his worm got in them beans. If you ain't never cooked any, I'm losing you right now. Them little sinners come out and look like little worms. That's the kind of boys that's raised back in Oklahoma. That old boy got up off the ground a-bleeding, and old Gene Ritchie wasn't saved, but he said, keep your mouth shut or God will kill you. Quit talking against that man of God down there. God will kill you. What we need is prayer back in our homes. The Bible back in our schools. God back in our courts. While back in Oklahoma, a certain man down there was going to go to court.
and witness for one against another one. A man against his wife trying to get a divorce. I sent word and said, what you need to do is go up to that courthouse and tell that judge you're a man of God. And the only thing you will do is get them two together in a room there and pray them through so they can make a home for the three children. You don't need to be taking sides trying to tear it up. Where's the Lord at in our courts? I was raised as a boy. I hope I don't worry. It's early. Don't look the clock. I'm looking at it. It's bothering me. Don't look at it. But did you know what? When I was raised in Oklahoma, they could play the national anthem, and I'd stand a sense straight. I'd lean over backwards. We caught a boy with a flag sewed on his britches. It's bye, bye, britches. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not mean. Wasn't mean. Ain't mean now. We caught a fellow with a flag painted on his car. He better sell that car. We thought the flag meant that we was a great nation under God. We didn't hip up the national anthem. We didn't hip up when the saints go marching in. We didn't hip up the old rugged cross. No, sir. We didn't hip up nothing but the blood. If we sung it so slow you couldn't keep time, we just didn't keep time. We sung it from our heart. I was taught that a policeman was a man that brought justice and stood for the right. My daddy said, that policeman, son, carries a gun to protect us. And he protects our rights. And he's a great help to us. Man, when I seen one, I just wondered if he'd let me look at his gun. Didn't want to touch it, just look at it. I was raised like that. If he spoke to me or patted me on the head, just felt like he was putting like a letter from the governor. I mean, I'm honest about it. That's the way I was raised. My daddy said, if you get a whipping at school, you'll get one at home when you get here. I was like old Leon Farley. They arrested him for spinning out, doing a wheelie, popping a wheelie. You ever pop one? I have. Police arrested him down there and called him to jail, said, call your daddy. It's not me. What do you mean, call your daddy? Said, I ain't calling my daddy. No, sir. Daddy told me if I got hurt, got in the hospital, got in trouble, and needed help, he'd help me. But if I got into it for breaking the law, I was on my own. Said, where do you want me to sleep? That happened. Said, Pup, Oklahoma. Said, son, we're calling your daddy. Said, you know, you're calling my daddy. I'm telling you now. He won't be here. When he hears I ain't broke up and I'm not dead and I'm not a bleeding, he won't be here. I said, they talked to me a while and said, well, we're just going to turn you loose then, but you better be good. He said, you better know I'll be good. I hope I'm making a little sense out of what I'm saying. I may get better tomorrow night. I'm going to pray. I'm wore out tonight. I wish I wasn't so wore out. I feared my father worse than the county sheriff. Praise the Lord! That's what I'm preaching on. I feared my father worse than the county sheriff. Well, I wasn't worried about the sheriff. I won't know what Roy said. My precious old overhaul wearing daddy. He said, you go down there to church and you get in there and sit down. And if you don't, I'll get you. And he could get you. I'll slap you, Johnny, if you don't mind. He's heard that 1,000 times. Stick his tongue out at you. Kick you on the shin if you said much more. Oh, ain't I got something started here tonight? Where is the Lord at? Got over yonder at the camp meeting, a little old boy got to where he wouldn't mind it. Went in the women's dorms, about 12 years old, mother, go-go dancer. Grandma turned him loose to run the campground. In there, getting in them women's clothes and running in the showers, about 10 or 11 maybe. Maybe not 12, he's 10 or 11 longer. Couldn't run the camp meeting for him. 100 house trailers there. Estimated high 3,000 people some nights. You couldn't run the camp meeting for people coming to me about that boy. I went over there and I said, son, have you been going in them dorms? I said, don't you go in there no more. Where is the Lord? After a while, they come to me again, said he's in there. I went over there and I said, son, didn't I tell you not to go in there? Son, I really talked to him.
Whop! I took him right where you're supposed to take him, and that ain't yanking the ears out and damaging the inner ear either. That ain't pinching them till they turn blood red or so blue they can't hardly walk. Have some sense. No wonder God's spirit's left you. Wild as a goat and high-tempered as it can be, why, Lord, have mercy. I'm working on some problems, son. I hit him where God made to hit him. Whop! I took him. He said, I said, if you go back in there, I'm going to take in my belt, and I'm going to tan your hide from here to your heels. Yes, sir. I said, you hear me? Yes, sir. 2 hours' time, who was it jerking on my coattail? Pray for me, Brother Moore. Just fell down and skipped myself. You guessed it. My old buddy. Old buddy. You know what Ralph Cox told me, one of her board members? He found out about it. Show him to me, Brother Moore. See, they could have filed charges against me for that. You can't hardly correct children now. They broke in our building, vandalized the building, broke glass on the floor, poured oil on his pews. I couldn't fingerprint them, photograph them, or arrest them because he's underage. I've got 9 of them in there, and they all confess to it. And one mama come from 4 years old to 13. What are you preaching on? Where is the Lord in America? What does he stand with? And what is he for? And why did he give us the victory in our wars like he has? Because of praying, dedicated, consecrated, God-seeking people. I shamed them for what they'd done. Not one offered to help me clean the building. Not a mother or a parent. Not a one offered to pay for the damage. I won the children's hearts. They cried. They promised me they'd never do it again. I turned them all loose. Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? You read about the man in the Bible, folks, that I brought my son to you, Lord. He's a lunatic. It's good to find out what they are and confess it. My boy, we'll not lie. When that boy stole that stuff off of our church and a detective went with me and I went to his mother and them apartments behind that building and I said, I seen the stolen insulation, rubber insulation off of our air conditioning system on his handlebars down there and some more stuff. I went up to his room and his mother said, he is not here, but I'll tell you one thing. He does not steal. Do not say that my boys steal. They are good boys. I said, where is he now? But I don't know, will you get him? She finally found him. And he come in and she said, my boys do not steal. I said, lady, will you shut up? Will you shut up while I talk to your boy? Your 14-year-old? Son, I said, don't lie to me. Where did you get that stuff on that bicycle? He said, I stole it over to church. Son, you're not supposed to steal from churches. From churches. Lady, will you be quiet? I said, will you be quiet while I deal with your son? Detective said, let me get him more. Said, I've been wanting him anyhow, so let me get him. I said, I ain't going to file no charges. You leave him alone and I'll talk to him. I said, will you get that stuff you stole and you go put it back where you got it? We let you play football on the back of that property. We let you play baseball out there and you jerked a meter out of the wall. You like to ruin our condition system and stole stuff off our church. You knocked the window lights out till we had to brick the whole building. You know what is the matter? Folks is not seeking God. They're not trying to raise their children in a spiritual environment and make them fear God or honor anybody else's stuff. Oh, I hope you don't get mad at me. Never thought about taking off like this. But you know what I done? I said, will you take it back and you go get you some plumber's tape and you tape that right back on that line you got it off of. Don't you go get your daddy. Don't you go. He didn't have no daddy. I didn't know him. Don't you go get somebody else. You do it. Don't you get mama to give you some money. You do it. And if you fix it back like it was, I will forgive you the transgression. And you shake my hand on that and be a man with Brother Moore. Son, you don't need a police record. You don't need a police record. That little boy got up and come across that room. He put his hand in the preacher's hand. Boy, I said, I'm counting on you to do what you said you'd do. You know he done it?
Never give me no more trouble. Never give me no more trouble. While the other two stole off of me, I give them 50 cents a piece to watch the stuff so nobody'd steal it. And they got to be such a friend to me, they'd whoop the whole bunch for even talking about stealing. You can't steal off a preacher more. It ain't right. They had no supervision. They had no one that loved them. They had no one to correct them. They had no one to instruct them. That's like the old boy in the school bus wore his overalls every day. Go barefooted if they let him every day to school. He's big, 225 bigger than a football player. Whole of children would let him off the bus. Turn him loose, Tom. Why, he could have whooped me. I said, you walk barefooted in the snow. You walk in the mud, but you won't ride this. I'll boss this bus. School superintendent said, you better do what the preacher said, son. You think you're getting by, but you ain't getting by with him. You got by with that Baptist preacher, but you ain't going to get by with this old Pentecostal hothead here. Mama had always run up to school every time the little darling knocked a window out or smeared paint on something or put a tack in the teacher's seat. Every time the little darling done something, she would say, you just pick an old my child. This little precious boy, he ain't done nothing wrong. Come on, brother. Yeah, yeah. Come on, brother. Oh, glory to God. I've left my text, son. Preaching on where's the Lord? Where'd he go? What happened to him? What grieved his spirit out of America? What in the world went wrong? I told him it wasn't riding no more. The superintendent principal said, go by one more morning, Mr. Moore. I think things have changed. Okay? Go by. Tom come out, stepped up on the first step and said, good morning, Mr. Moore. He never said it. Good morning, Tom. He's 28 or 9 now, maybe a little older. He can be coming down the road in his pickup. He's going to college and holding two jobs. He'll stop that pickup and get out, LL, and say, Mr. Moore, how in the world are you? Always got time. I turned the bus over to him when I had a flat or when I run out of something or something busted. You watch it for me, Tom, while I go call in. He'd watch it like a hawk. First morning after I let him back on, as a fella hit him, I seen it in the rearview mirror. He hit old Tom. Well, you don't hit Tom. You don't hit Tom. Nobody at school hit Tom. No. Tom just whop. It didn't take much for Tom to whop you, and you just whopped. They whopped him. Make Tom quit. I seen you hit him. If you don't want Tom hitting you, leave Tom alone. Well, he said, he's not my enemy. He ain't trying to be me. What he needed was somebody to correct him, to instruct him, and to show him that they loved him, and be a friend to him, and make it stick. I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm just asking y'all, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? We're going to have to call a special meeting to see why they stole the typewriters out of the schoolhouse. We're going to have to pass legislation to see if we can't get this straightened out. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord is gone. Get God's fear back in there. Get the fear of God back in that schoolhouse. Get it back in your house. Get it back in your heart. And thing will take 180 degree change. We're going to ask you to stand. We started with a simple thought tonight. I do hope we help you while we're here. We're trying not to hinder you. But if you're here tonight and you need to get closer to God, let's see you at the altar. Will you come now? Be honest with me. Where's the Lord at? How about your testimony? Where's he at? How about it tonight? Where are you at? Will you come? I'm here to help you. That's the only reason I'm here. How about it? I will linger just a little. I'm sure someone is here. They'd like to get closer to God. You'd like to come up a little closer. Get God in your life a little better. Will you come? All right. Let us sing. Let us play. Whatever you want to do. All right. We got the time.
Living below in this
is there one? Is this there one? Are there a few? I don't know your condition.